You'll take your Bibles now and turn with me to Matthew. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. We'll be looking at the first four verses of this chapter. I've entitled this message, Christ, the Willing and Able Savior. It says, when He was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him. And behold, stop, look, consider this. There came a leper and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth His hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. And notice what happened, and immediately the leprosy was cleansed. Immediately. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And here we have a very familiar story before us, the healing of the leper. The healing of the leper. Jesus was followed by this great multitude of people. And the Scripture then trains our eyes. It says, behold. It says, watch, look here. It trains our attention to focus on this one man who came out of a great multitude of people. And this man was no ordinary man, no common man. He was the lowest of them. He was a leper. A leper. And he comes to Christ worshiping Him, saying, if you will, you can. And Christ says, I will, and touches him. And immediately the leprosy is gone from his body. And then Christ gives him this command, go and show the priest as Moses commanded you for a testimony unto them. Now, we know that all Scripture is given by the Holy Spirit and profitable for us, for doctrine, for reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. Now, why is this here? Why is this passage concerning the leper given to us by the Holy Spirit? It's not to show off. Christ could heal anyone. He could do it without even being in the same vicinity as this man. He could have healed him from heaven. He could have done any of that to heal him. He didn't have to do it this way. This is His purpose way. Why? Why is this written? It's not to fill space. But each miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ is set forth in Scripture to show us this. The deity of Christ and His power to forgive sin. You remember that man that was sick of the palsy. He was paralyzed. And his friends had lowered him down from that roof. And what did Jesus say to this man? He said, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. That was unexpected, wasn't it? You would have thought He'd say, get up. But no, He said, thy sins be forgiven thee. So if that man lay sick of the palsy for the rest of his life, he could be of good cheer because his sins were forgiven him. And they said, how can one forgive sins except he be God? And Jesus said, which is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or rise up and walk? Well, you know it's easier to say thy sins be forgiven. Nobody could see that. But that you might know the Son of Man hath power to forgive sins. He said to the sick of the palsy, take up thy bed and walk. He has power to forgive. This was a display of His ability and power to forgive sins. That's what miracles were given for. Now, in this passage of Scripture, I've got three points. Three things we're going to focus on. First of all, we're going to focus on the leper. I want you to look at this leper. I want you to see this leper. Then I want you to see the one that healed him. I want you to see the Son of God. I want to set Him before you so that you are plainly, you can understand His power and His will concerning salvation. And the third thing I want you to see is the command of the Savior given to the cleansed leper. So let's see these in order. First of all, the leper. Behold, the scripture says, there came a leper. Now, the plague of leprosy was not looked upon as a disease. It was a curse of God. A curse of God. So that when a man had leprosy, he didn't go to the doctor, he went to the priest. Because only God could heal leprosy. God gave leprosy as a curse, and only God could heal the leper. Now, if the priest found leprosy, now if you want to read that for yourself, Leviticus 13 is the chapter concerning the inspection of the leper. And if you want to hear a message, I did a message called The True Leper. If you want to listen to that later, you can. But it says this in Leviticus 13. It says, it is an old leprosy in the skin of the flesh, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean and shall not shut him up, for he is unclean. It did not matter how important a man was. It didn't matter if he was a king or a peasant. If he had leprosy, this man was unclean. This man was unclean. When the priest found the leprosy, when he found that this man was a leper, he was unclean. From that time forth, until he was cleansed, he was unclean. Now, there's no need of further inspection of shutting him up. You don't need to shut him up anymore. This is it. This is leprosy. And when one was a leper, he must be stripped of everything. So consider this man. He was stripped. Listen what the law says. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, his head shall be bare, and he shall put on a covering over his lip and cry, unclean, unclean. He was from this time on to cover his lip and cry, unclean. And because he was unclean, the law says everything he touched was unclean. This is why he had to warn people so they didn't bump into him. He had to warn them of his uncleanness so they could make way. And not only was he unclean, not only was he a leper, but listen, this man was cast out from everything he knew. In Leviticus 13:46, it says, all the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled and unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall be his habitation. Can you imagine the sorrow of this man in this plague, that he was cast out from the wife that he loved, the children that he had, any family member? He was to be alone. He was to live alone. He was to die alone. According to the law, he could not be in the presence of anyone. He was to be utterly alone. And imagine this plague. It was a plague of the flesh, and the flesh would rot off. He would lose his limbs. He would lose his arm, his legs. And he would be alone, no one to comfort him. But worse than that, he was outcast from God. He had no part in the sacrifices, no part in the worship of God, no communion with God. He was an outcast, not just from man, but from God. What a horrible existence this man must have endured, being a leper. He was outcast from everything and cut off from God with no hope. But what is leprosy? None of us have leprosy this morning. What does this have to do with us? Leprosy in Scripture is a picture of sin. It's an outward expression of an inward plague. An inward curse. This is the best picture of sin. This is the curse of God upon all the sons of Adam. For when Adam sinned, he immediately became a leper. Dead in his flesh. Dead in his flesh. Therefore, by one man's sin, leprosy entered into the world. And death by sin, by leprosy. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So what is leprosy but the death of the flesh? You know, this leprosy always started out like a little small dot. But one of the things about leprosy is it never remains small. It grows and spreads. But it didn't matter if it was a spot or it was the whole body. A leper was a leper. And so then we all have sinned against God. We all by nature have the leprosy in our flesh. And so then, if a leper was one who had only a little spot or it covered his whole body, listen, it doesn't matter if you're a great sinner or a moral sinner. If you're a religious man or a vulgar man. If we all by nature are unclean in the sight of God, what then is their hope for the leper if he is outcast from God? If the sinner is outcast from God, if the sinner is defiled and all the sinner does and all the sinner touches like the leper is unclean, how then may we be accepted? The only way the leper was ever brought back in is that he be cleansed of his leprosy. He had to be free from all his leprosy. He could not have one spot left. And the only hope for the sinner then is to be fully clean of sin. Fully holy before God. That's the only hope that you be righteous. Well, how does this happen? By law? No. No. In the law of the leper, remember the law could only expose the leper. It could only pronounce him unclean. It could only pronounce him clean. It could not make him clean. Therefore, Paul says in Romans chapter 3, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in the sight of God. For by the law is what? The knowledge of your leprosy. If you want to know your leprosy, look at the law. If you want to know if you have leprosy, look at the law. We have all lied. We have all sinned against God. We have not loved God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and body, and strength. We have not loved our neighbors, ourselves. What does that make you? What does that make me? A leper. We're sinful. This man pictures us. He was cast out by the law. It was the law that cast him out. It wasn't the law that healed him. And just as a leper has been cast out from God, even so we have been cast out. Alienated from God. Separated from communion with God. The natural man, by nature, is a religious creature. I'm not saying man isn't religious. Lepers aren't religious. Lepers are religious. But what they cannot do with all the sincerity of their heart is know God. They cannot commune with God because one thing divides them, and that is their leprosy. The thing that divides you from God is your sin. That's what separates us from God. What causes the law to cast us out? Because we have sinned. And what does man do with this? He tries to cover it up. God says this, who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in His holy place? Listen, he that hath clean hands. That's leprosy free. You have to be free of leprosy. You have to have clean hands and a pure heart to stand before God. I pray that God would Holy Spirit with her, would let this sink really deep into our souls and hearts, sink into our minds. That all who seek to worship God by law and religious works are outcast lepers. They're just as vile as those wicked men, those sodomites, parading in the streets. You may be in church this morning, but if you are not as holy as the Son of God, you are an outcast. You're an outcast. And those who seek to find God by their will and works, they will be cast eventually, eternally from the presence of God. And the Scripture says, and their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. This man is a picture of all men by nature. Secondly, this man is I want you to see this leper coming. This leper, he didn't isolate himself. He came. And Scripture says, behold, there came a leper. Came a leper. Let this man be a lesson to all who find themselves in this leper's condition. To all those who are exposed of sin by the law and unclean before God, that are cast out of the mercy of God, let them come even as this leper comes. How did he come? How did this leper come? He came in repentance seeking to be clean. He came out of this crowd. He came out from among them who had no need of healing. You see the crowd? See the large mass? None of them came to Christ like this. They followed Him. They followed Him around. They didn't come to Him. This one came to Him for one reason. He had a need of cleansing. A need of forgiveness. And that's the only way that you as a sinner will come to Christ, if you ever see your need of cleansing. All men need cleansing, but not all men know there's a cleansing. You know, you only go to the doctor when you're sick. You'll only come to Christ when you know you need cleansing. Most of that multitude didn't have leprosy. They had it, they didn't know it. It was inward. And they didn't come to Christ. The natural man will, he may feel his sin, but rather than come to Christ, what do? They cover their leprosy. They may see a spot of sin. What do? They take religion and cover it. They take works and cover it. They take law. The very thing that casts them out, they think is the thing that's going to bring them in. And it won't. This was the condition of this leper he found himself in, and he saw the law could do nothing. The law could not heal his plague. But when he heard Christ preach, he heard one speak as that one that's having authority. What did he see when he saw Christ? I'm going to tell you exactly what he saw. He saw God manifest in the flesh. He saw God manifest in the flesh. He saw Christ was the one, the only one who had the authority to heal. Now listen, am I talking to lepers this morning? Any leper. Anyone. Now this message is no good to clean folk. To lepers, this message is important. You should take this man and mark him because this is how you should come. Come seeking help and healing from the only one who gives it. Christ. That's how he came. He came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can. Now, what did this man know? Well, first of all, he knew that this was God manifest in the flesh. In the Old Testament, you remember old Naaman had leprosy, and he came to that king of Israel. He didn't really come to the king. He was coming for the prophet. But the king, he said this, am I God that I could heal leprosy? Everybody knew that only God could heal leprosy. So when this man came, he knew this. That's the Son of God. That's God manifest in the flesh. And he came displaying this when he said, Lord, worshiping him, saying, Lord, he recognized his deity. This man came with the understanding of his lack of merit. He came worshiping. If you ever know your need, you're going to understand you're not going to merit what you're asking. He had no merit. He came worshiping, bowing down in the very presence of the Son of God, which was, listen, not allowed by law. You see, he didn't come by law. If he came by law, he would not come at all. If you come to God by law, you'll never come at all. But he must abandon that. He's got no hope in the law. So what does he come for? One word. Grace. He comes for grace. He comes not for merit, but for mercy. He comes worshiping Christ. Sinner, if you wait till you're better, you'll never come. What are you waiting for? You that have not come, what are you waiting for? Are you waiting for a day where you feel like coming? Are you waiting for a day that there's going to be a better day to come? Listen, leprosy only grows. It doesn't get better. Your sin will not get better. It will only grow worse. If you tarry till you're better, you'll never come at all. The leper understood that he must come to Christ at all costs. There was no healing anywhere else. That's what he knew. If you're ever a leper, you'll come to Christ knowing this. There's no other place to go. This is the only one who can heal. This leper, listen, he believed also that he had the power to heal him. Now listen, if he didn't believe he wasn't able, would you think he'd come? If he didn't have a need, he wouldn't come. And if he didn't know that this man was able, he would never come. So he knew something, that this man had the ability. He said, Lord, if you will, you what? You can. I know you can. I know you can. So if there are any lepers, listen, come now without delay. Come as you are. Come and bow down, believing on Christ alone is able to save. For there is no salvation in any other name given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other name. You got how narrow that is? You know how narrow that is? That excludes every other way to God. Why do you think Christians are hated? Because we only believe in one way. And that excludes their way. The only way is Christ. The only way of healing. Can you not see the humility of this man pleading for the mercy of Christ? That's how sinners come to Christ. Believer, isn't that how we came to Christ? Is this not man, not us? Can you not see us here? I can. I see myself. Do we not see at times still seeking forgiveness? Still seeking pardon? Still seeking mercy? I tell you what, I come like this every day. I come like this every day seeking forgiveness and pardon and mercy. And what does it say? If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us all sin. You know where He said He cleanseth us. It's not just a one-time cleansing for us. It's a constant, perpetual cleansing. Now then, let's look at the Savior. Let's look at the One that healed. Now the first response was to this one, I'm sure, the most unexpected response. Look at verse 3. And Jesus put forth His hand and what? Touched him. What did I say about the leper touching anything? He was not allowed to touch anything. No one had touched this man in how long he has ever been a leper. No one could ever touch him. You ever not been touched? You know how miserable a life that is not to be touched by other people? You know, they did a study one time. They put cruel studies they used to do. They used to put a baby in a crib and they wanted to see what it was like if nobody touched it. The baby died. How much do we need touching? Affection, love. And this man was without that. And the most unexpected thing happened. The Lord Jesus Christ was the first one to touch this man. Touched him. It was unlawful for the leper to be touched because anyone who touched him could be defiled. But this is the only man that could touch him and not be defiled. Christ was perfect. He was impeccable. He could not, that sin could not defile Him. Why did He touch Him? He touched Him to show how He had come to identify with Him as a representative man. You know, that's what Job said. How can I be accepted of God except I have a daysman? Someone to touch God and touch me. To mediate between me and God. Christ, by touching this man, is mediating between this man and God. That's what happened to us. When He touched
me, he was mediating between me and God.
And so when he touched this man, as of yet that sin was not defiled him, but this also speaks of what Christ did at Calvary. He did take that man's sin in himself. When God made him to be sin for us, he made Christ to be a curse for us. He bore our leprosy in his own body. And God punished our Savior in the stead of the leper. Christ, who had no sin, committed no sin, was clean of sin, yet was made sin. And where was he crucified? The same place the leper was cast out. Outside the camp. Outside the camp. And notice then the will of the Savior. He said, Lord, if you can. He knew he could. He knew he was the only one that could. He came to him, Lord, if you will. The Savior is God and man, the high priest of his people. Only he could do this. The question then is not, does he have the power? The question then is, will he? That's when the sinner comes. Isn't that the question we had? When we came to him, that was the question. Would he? Is it possible that you will save a wretch like me? Is it possible that you will? I know you can. I know you have the power. I know your blood's sufficient. I know your righteousness is sufficient. But will you cleanse me? Will you cleanse me? And listen to these two words. I will. You got any doubt? Is there any leper that has any doubt of Christ's willingness? He just told you, I will. I will. You not suppose that was probably the most joyful sound that man had ever heard? Can you imagine him trembling, wondering, will he throw me away? Will he send me back to the Lord? Will he cast me out again? I know this was the only one, my only hope. Will he? What joy must have filled his heart when he said, yes, of course I will. Of course I will. It must have filled his heart like it filled my heart. Like it filled your heart when he said, I will. He is a willing Savior. He's willing to save who, though? Only lepers. Not pretend lepers. Real lepers. They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but who? Sinners to repentance. Is there any need? Is there any need of forgiveness and pardon? You've been exposed? You pay attention. Christ is willing to save. Willing to save. Everyone that comes to God by Him. Everyone. You just make that as broad and as wide as you want to. Everyone who comes to God by Him will be cleansed. Why? He said, I will. I will. Greater love hath this no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend. He is willing. He willingly came, didn't he? Into this world. He willingly obeyed the law of God. He willingly died at Calvary. He willingly took the throne of God. He willingly did this to save His people. This is the will of God. Now this is God's will. You want to know what God's will is for your life? People ask that question all the time. They want to hocus pocus, so they want to see the future or something. You want to know what God's will is? Here it is. This is the will of God. That all that the Father gave to Christ will come to Him. And him that cometh to Christ, He will in no wise cast. He said, I will in no wise ever cast them out. Who come to me. Who come to me. Why? Because all the elect are lepers. To delay to come to Christ is nothing but foolish pride and arrogance. It is total unbelief that He is not a willing or able Savior. That's why you don't come. You either come because you don't know your need, you either come because you don't know your need, or you don't know His ability, or you don't believe He's willing. All of those are unbelief. But if you know your need, you know His power, I want you to know this, He's willing. But do you who are willing and know He's willing, do you doubt His power? That's the third thing I want you to see about Christ, is His power. He is not only willing to save, but He is powerful to save. What did He say? Look at the text. I will. Be thou clean. And what? Immediately, his leprosy was clean. See, it's one thing to say something and not have power. Scott, you have $1 million. Now, I said it. There's no power. Don't check your bank account. It's not there. There's no power in my voice. There's no power in our word. There's power in His word. If He is willing, listen, He's able. He's able. What good would it do if Christ was willing and had not power? Matter of fact, that's the modern Christ, isn't it? The modern Christ of today is willing to save everyone. But what does He lack? He lacks the power to do it. Ask Him. Well, God wants everybody to be saved. Why ain't everybody saved? Well, because man. Oh, so the power is in man then. Not God. Not my God. That's not the Christ I just read to you. Christ said, I will, and the power was there. The power was there. Thou hast given Him power over all flesh. That He may give eternal life to who? As many as the Father has given Him. This man came with nothing to offer, seeking mercy, and Christ said, I will. Be thou clean, and immediately. And that's exactly what it is when a man comes to Christ. Immediately his sin is gone. Just as sure as that leprosy left that man's body, absolutely, completely, I bet his skin was as smooth as a baby's bottom, from top to bottom. I bet it was perfect. In every way, no blemish in this man. Christ made him perfect. And that's exactly what Christ does to the soul of a man when He saves him. He makes him perfect. In fact, He creates a brand new man. He creates a brand new nature that is absolutely impeccable and cannot sin. And He puts it into the man. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Power of Christ unto salvation rests in Christ alone. He came, He cleansed, He cleanses us from all our sin. That's what John says, the blood of Christ cleanseth us from all our sins. Marvelous grace, free and sovereign grace. That's what we found as lepers when we came to Him. But now I want you to see the command of Christ. I want you to see it before I get off of that. I want you to see what this cleansing has done. You know, now I just go through this and we'll get to it. I'm gonna come back around to it. Let's see the command now of the Savior. We saw the leper, how he came. How he knew what he knew. He knew Christ was alone and able. And he found Christ to be both willing and able to save him. And he was cleansed. Now Christ gives him a command. Look at this command in verse 4. And he saith unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way and show thyself to the priest. And offer the gift that Moses commanded thee for a testimony unto them. Now the Savior commands this man, who was cleansed by his grace and power to make haste and run to Jerusalem to be examined under the law of Moses. Now, why did he do this? Why? Well, first of all, this. Christ had to obey the law of God. He was still being our representative, and according to the law, that was required of him. So that's one reason Christ said it, but I think there's a greater reason here. There's a better reason. The other reason is for the benefit of the leper, so that he might see and witness the gospel before his eyes. Because that's exactly what the cleansing ceremony of the leper in Leviticus 14. It is a beautiful picture of how he was cleansed. Now, you believers in Christ, do you not want to know more of how you were cleansed? I want to know more. I want to understand more of how. And so Christ sent him to the only place he could learn it. To the house of God. He sent him to hear. Now as a cleansed man. Now as a free man from sin. He sent him back to see the gospel. Now what did he have to see? I'm going to tell you this. Leviticus 14. You can read this too. Because this is very interesting to one who has been cleansed. It says in Leviticus 14:2, it says, "This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp. And the priest shall look and behold if the plague of leprosy be healed." Listen, he sent him back for inspection. He sent him back for inspection. This man was to be inspected and examined by those priests. They must thoroughly look him over in order to see he was clean. Believer in Christ, we by nature lepers under the curse of God have come to Christ. We have had full leprosy. We came not demanding, but came as beggars. And we found him both willing and able to cleanse us. And he said, "Thou art clean." What did he tell the apostles in that? In the last Lord's Supper, where he instituted the Lord's Supper, he said, "You are clean every whit." Totally clean. That's what he said. Jesus said, "If a Son of Man shall set you free, you shall be free in what? Indeed." We heard the will of the Father was that he should not cast us out, and we found it to be true. What liberty and freedom we have found at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ when we came to Him. But let me ask you this. How long before the struggle began after you were cleansed? How long before the warfare began in your flesh? How long was it till the enemy came in accusing you and your conscience accusing you? How long was it before you began to doubt whether you're whole or not? Today, right now, in your own self, examine yourself. How many of us daily wonder if I'm really clean? He says, "How can you be clean?" The enemy, the conscience. You're so still full of sin. You're so full of unbelief. You're so prone to wander from Christ. So prone to sin against Christ. How could you claim to be free of leprosy? Surely there's a spot somewhere. Therefore, let us see the significance of Christ's command. We have been cleansed by the blood of Christ. Then let us be examined by Christ. Isn't the priest supposed to examine us? Who's that? The same one that cleanses us, isn't he? He's supposed to examine us. We must be examined in the eyes of God's justice. Hebrews 4:13 says that all things are naked and open before God. I'm sure I can imagine the fear of this man when that priest began to look. Can you not see it? He's looking in every place. Every fold of his skin, all through his old matted hair. He's looking for one reason to cast him out. He's saying, "Is it really gone? Am I really clean? Will God really accept me?" Even so, we, because of the old man of sin, still remain. We are so much in doubt and fear of Christ's cleansing. The enemy in our conscience daily accuses us, and we must confess, "In my flesh dwelleth what? No good thing." We confess, O wretched man, that I, what? Am. But here's the verdict of the man and the verdict of everyone cleansed by the blood of Christ. Here's your verdict. When God Himself inspects you, this is what He's going to find. Holy. Spotless. Perfect. Without one spot or stain of sin. Listen, not before the eyes of men, not before your own eyes, but before the eyes of God, God finds those that are cleansed of Christ. He finds no sin. Listen to Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 20. In those days and at that time, when you're cleansed, in that time, listen. Thus saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for. In other words, He's searching. God's holy eyes are searching for sin. He's looking for sin to punish. He must punish sin. He must punish it wherever He finds it, in whoever He finds it. When He found it in His Son, did He not punish it in His own Son? Surely He would punish it in you and me if He found it. But He says it's going to be sought for. But this is His conclusion. After His inspection, He says, and there shall be none. The sins of Judah shall be sought for, and they shall not be found. Why? For I will pardon them whom I reserve. I will cleanse them. I will cleanse them. Now then, how will He do it? How did He do this? Now the man is going to get a picture of the gospel, and I'm going to give you a crash course through Leviticus 14. It's a long process, but it's so beautiful in his picture. Can you imagine what this man saw? I want you to, by grace, if God would give us the visualization, see what this man saw. First of all, he was outside the camp with that priest. He inspected. He says, I don't find any leprosy. So he takes these two birds. He cuts the throat of one bird and runs water over this bird, the water, and he pours it into this bowl. All right? And he takes that other bird and he ties some cedar and he ties some scarlet thread to this bird. He dips it in the blood and he lets the bird go out. Oh man, what in the world is that? Then he takes that blood and he sprinkles it on the newly cleansed leper. What is this? Both birds are Christ. Both birds are Christ. Christ died under the running vengeance of God's wrath. His blood was caught in an earthen vessel, so none of it was spilt. None of it was wasted. All that God purposed to save, He will save. And He takes that other bird with the cedar. Cedar wood is an incorruptible wood. What does it say about His flesh? He said, His flesh shall not see corruption. That scarlet, we know that that's a picture of the blood because that's what happened to Rahab. When she put that scarlet thread, she was saved. You take that scarlet, you dip the bird in the blood, and he goes up into the heavens. Isn't that the resurrection of Christ? He took His own blood before the Father and He said, here, I've obtained their pardon with My blood. And God said, yes, you have. That's accepted. Your blood is accepted. That's what this man saw. He saw a picture of how he was redeemed by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, that's not it. This man, he gets to take off that old robe. Imagine that old filthy thing he's been on for you. Lepers only supposed to have one clothes. Audrey, you, how many clothes do you have? You got so many clothes, we just bought clothes and you just keep buying clothes. Lepers had one garment they wore every single day. It was a filthy rag. It was rags. That's all it was. Isn't that our sin? All our unrighteousnesses are as what? Filthy rags. And you know what the leper that's cleansed gets to do? He gets to take that off. And he gets a brand new set. He gets a wash set. That's putting on the robe of Christ's righteousness. And not only that, he washes himself. He's washed. He's cleansed. And that old hair that must be matted up, you know, no care. Nobody's able to touch or help clean. That old matted hair, he shaves all that hair off. Can you imagine the relief of that? Oh, thank God. I'm rid of this. I'm rid of this matted hair. Why? So that new growth comes out. Isn't that what happens in our new nature? We put off the old man and put on the new. And spiritual growth. Spiritual growth. See what this man gets to see? And that wasn't it. Then you got to go inside and do another ceremony. And this one shows the cost of what it really... Those two birds, they give a picture, but they don't give a picture of the cost. Birds are cheap. This man was to bring three lambs, a very costly sacrifice. Three lambs. All three picture Christ. The burnt offering, the sin offering, and the meal offering, or the thank offering. Listen, to the burnt offering, you take that whole thing, you throw it on the fire. Burns everything. Flesh, everything. Picture of Christ, how He was consumed by the wrath of God as a sacrifice for our sins. And as the smoke enters into heaven, you see that the acceptance of God for that sacrifice. The sin offering was to cut the insides out and burn them. What is that picture? That picture that Christ made His soul an offering. Not just His body, but His soul an offering for sin. And the meal offering. What do you think we're doing today? We're eating the meal offering. We're eating the sacrifice of Christ. We're enjoying it. We're relishing. We're rejoicing in what He's done for us. And this is another thing that has to be done. He takes that blood of the meal offering and He puts it in His hand. He takes it and He puts it on His right ear, on right thumb, and right toe. Big toe. What is this? Don't you know that every evil comes in through this? How many thoughts and intents of the heart come right through this? This is what it's saying. Everyone who is cleansed of Christ, everything they think, feel, is cleansed before it goes in. Before you ever have an evil thought, it's already cleansed. The blood's already here. It's before it goes in. What about the thumb? Every work we do is cleansed by the blood of Christ. You're worshiping this morning. Would you dare take that worship to God as an offering? But you can, because Christ already stamped His blood on it. It's acceptable. This worship this morning is acceptable. What about the toe? Don't you know this? We walk by faith in the blood of Christ. Walk by faith daily, constantly walking in faith. That's not it. He takes some oil now, and He takes this oil and puts it in the finger, and He does the same thing on His ear, His thumb, and His toe. What is this? Picture the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit seals in the blood. The blood's applied, and the blood is sealed. What does this mean? It can't be removed. And so now, everything that goes in is not only cleansed, it's sanctified. Which means that are able to hear this message. You're able to receive this message. You're able to love this message because the Spirit of God has anointed it in your heart, in your ear. Spiritual ears He's given you. What about the thumb? All your work is moved by the Spirit of God. You're here this morning. If you're a believer in Christ, you want to be here. Why do you want to be here and not everybody else? The Spirit of God moved you to this work. A good work. And doesn't the Scripture say that the Spirit of God, we are led by the Spirit of God? If you are the sons of God, you are led. When you're got that toe, it's walking. We are walking in the Spirit. Walking by faith in Christ. You know what He did with the rest of the oil? He dumped it on His head. Nothing wasted here. The Spirit of God anoints us. What does this mean? We are sealed. And no one could remove us from Christ. That's what's pictured. Don't you see the need of this command? Isn't this why we come and hear the gospel every time? Don't we need to be reminded of these things? We do. The Spirit of God keeps us. Why? Because God willed that we be saved. Because God purposed us to be saved. Christ obtained our salvation. And when we came to Him as lepers, in humility and fear, He said, I will be thou clean. And you know what? You are clean. You are clean. Pastor, I don't feel clean. That don't matter. So what if you feel clean? Does that make you cleaner? Not. With His holy garments on, I'm as holy as God's Son. Don't you see you've been cleansed? Do you need to be cleansed? That's a question to lepers. Do you need it? If you need it, listen, Christ is able. He's able. God accepted His offering. He's able to save you. Yes, but is He willing? He said, I will. Be thou clean. And when He says it, it's done. And God says, clean. 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 What do I care what Satan or myself says? If God says I'm clean, I'm clean. I believe God, and I'm a liar and Satan's a liar, but God's not. Give me faith, Lord, for that, and I may hold to Christ.